From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. There is a fundraising walk for suicide prevention starting from the state capitol in Sacramento to Old Sacramento this Saturday. It's called Out of the Darkness. Suicide in rural communities has been the focus of a project at Cap Radio recently. Reporter Sammy Kayola spent months in Amador County exploring some of the suicide factors, statistics, and the personal stories. Then last week, there was a community convening to more broadly address this subject with the people who live there. You've heard us talk about this series before. In fact, we shared the first part of it with you on Insight. But I wanted to follow up on this work, and so Sammy's in the studio with me today. Hi, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
Let's revisit why you decided to do this project and what was illuminated for you.
Sure. So we actually got the idea for this project from our managing editor, Linnea Edmeyer, who lives in Amador County, has for decades, and says she's known a lot of people who died by suicide, more than what seemed like you might know in Sacramento. Even though Sacramento's a much bigger place, she just seemed to think that there might be more suicides happening in Amador County. And she asked me to find out if that was true and why. And so we did go to the State Department of Public Health, and they do rank the counties by suicide rate. So that's adjusted for the population. So it's suicides per 100,000 people. And Amador County had the third highest rate. Despite being a small county, the number of suicides for their population puts them at the top of that list. And we saw that all of the top ranking counties were rural. And we just thought, what is going on in Sacramento's surrounding areas, the towns up in the hills, you know, that is causing so many people to take their own lives?
You had to find sources, and sometimes subjects like this can be closed anyway, let alone in a very small area. And you were trying to learn about the different factors involved. So talk to me about both of those aspects.
Yeah. So I knew I had to start by finding people in the community who would be willing to talk about this, because it's very stigmatized there. People are sort of afraid to talk about it. They don't want anyone to think that they're not normal or that they're, you know, doing something wrong. Mental illness is not something there's a lot of education about, and so it's not talked about. And I had seen actually on Facebook that they were having a suicide awareness walk. It was in honor of a young woman, Rory Lauterbach Stratton, who had died by suicide 3 years ago. She was only 23 years old. And her friends were really upset, and they thought it was very sudden. They had not ever thought this would happen, and they wanted to do something about it because they didn't know anything about suicide or how to prevent it. So 2 years ago, they started this walk, and it was in April this year. And I thought, well, why don't I start there? And so I got in touch with one of Rory's friends who had organized the walk, and I went there and I set up a table and I said, I'd like to learn more about this. If you're willing to talk about it, please just come to my table. And if you don't want to talk about it right now, here's my number and we can talk about it later. And that is actually how I found Ashley Moore, who is the main character in the first segment, the young mother who is, you know, recovering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And, you know, as I just spent more time there, I went to various events. I met with nonprofit leaders. I went to community centers. I just started talking to people, and they either said no or they said, yeah, I really need to talk about this.
Talk to me about the Amador mom, Stacy Larson, and I guess specifically we'll be talking about her teenage daughter.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about the stigma. There's also just a lot of people aren't really looking out for the signs. They don't know necessarily what to look for. And Stacy, she didn't know that her daughter, Liz, who's 15, was suffering from depression and anxiety. She just thought it was kind of normal teen stuff when Liz started to go into a funk. But then in January, Liz actually swallowed half a bottle of Zoloft in an attempt to end her life. And Stacy told me she later found out that a lot of teens in Amador feel really out of place. It's kind of a conservative community, and teens can really feel trapped there. But they're afraid to talk to their parents. And this is sort of Stacy's story.
I just literally thought she was lazy, didn't want to do anything, and was going to get over it. I mean, or it was monthly cycle or all those things that you put out, you know. And so we threw a drug at her and thought, okay, that's going to make everything better and she's going to be fine. And didn't really take it seriously enough I can now see the signs of isolation, of not really wanting to eat and staying in her room, of obviously not grooming, of really not having any contact with anyone. You've got these kids out here who are literally crying out for help, and none of their parents are paying any attention. And that's why we've had suicides and the kids have suicide here.
So, yeah, as you can see, there are sometimes red flags. I mean, not always. Sometimes it feels very sudden. But if you're looking out, you may know someone in your life who is depressed or is experiencing some sort of crisis. And if you do, I'm just going to give the number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-8255. So that's the number to call if you yourself are considering suicide or you know someone who is. So yes, Stacey is now really active in the community. She's joined the National Alliance for Mental Illness, and she's really trying to warn other parents to tell them to communicate with their teenagers.
How's her daughter doing?
And her daughter is doing okay. She's not going to school right now. She's staying home and, you know, taking things easy, but she is in therapy and she's on medication and she's working it out.
In fact, the Sacramento walk was put on my radar by the family of 16-year-old Tycho Spellis Chisano, who took his life on May 5th of this year. And they were totally caught off guard by this. They didn't really understand the depth of depression that he was suffering with. And they're going to have a team of 70-some friends and family, which I think is a picture of how vivid the pain and the desire to help goes on once there's a full awareness of what the situation really is. And I think with your work, this was a town or a community's effort at trying to have a bigger dialogue at approaching it. So what was some of the feedback in the Amador County community?
Absolutely. So for people who had already been impacted by suicide and knew that it was a problem, like maybe they didn't know how severe of a problem it was, but they knew something was going on. They needed to talk about it. They were really pleased to have a jumping off point, to have it in writing and in audio, and to have the numbers and to say, okay, this is real. We can't deny this anymore, and we've got to do something about it. I also got emails from people who honestly had no idea and who emailed me just, you know, thanking them for letting them know about this and said, oh, wait, you know, I think I actually do know someone in my life who might be having a struggle with mental illness. I never would have thought to talk to them about this, and said they felt a little bit more prepared to do that. So, yeah, it's been largely positive.
I'm talking with Cap Radio's health reporter, Sammy Kaola. We're discussing her series on rural suicide. You can find that series and a list of helpful resources at capradio.org. Tell me a little more about your reporting. This wasn't just focused on the age group of teenagers.
No. So we identified a couple of groups that are at heightened risk. Teenagers are one, veterans are another, and seniors actually are a big one because they're isolated. So seniors who live with families tend to do better than seniors who are widowed or whose families live far away or who don't have transportation. So if they are going days on end without seeing somebody else, if they're not engaged in an activity, they might actually stop taking care of themselves physically and mentally. Mm. We talked to a psychologist who actually said chronic loneliness is a real health issue. He compared it to obesity in the way that it can reduce your life expectancy. So it's a suicide risk. So I visited a lot of different seniors who live far away. And I found one who actually drives like more than 20 miles every day to go to this place called the Sierra Wind Wellness and Recovery Center, which is in Jackson. Mm. And a lot of seniors go there. A lot of people of all ages go there, actually. A lot of homeless people, too. And it's not a mental health facility. They don't have therapists or psychiatrists. It's just, it's a gathering place. They have support groups. They have free lunch every day. And I talked to their executive director, Joseph Bartholomew, and he told me a lot of people actually can stave off depression just by talking to their neighbors.
We have seen that peer support is very helpful. So having someone to come along and talk to you and get to know you and build a relationship with you tends to work. And some people are at that point decide, hey, you know, maybe I want to do something for myself around my condition at this point in time, because we have to remember everybody's on their own journey. So some folks are in a place where right now they haven't accepted that they have a condition and they don't want to do anything. And then there's other folks, if you were to approach them and talk to them, would want to do something, but nobody has approached them.
So I think as we go forward from here, you'll see a lot of the county's efforts will be around more gathering places where people can make friends and hopefully become comfortable sharing those struggles about mental health.
With that, let's talk about the convening that happened, this community meeting, which I find remarkable, and the participation was remarkable.
Yeah, we got an amazing turnout. We had about 100 people there and, you know, really a packed house. We wish we could have fit more people because we even had people on the wait list. And we had, you know, people from nonprofits came and set up tables and gave out resources. And then just everyday people who had heard the series and were curious came. And we sat them at tables. We kind of mixed everybody up. So people sat with people they didn't know. And I gave a little presentation, played some of the work, introduced some of the data. And then, you know, we had people converse at their tables. We gave them kind of starting questions and had them kind of brainstorm why they thought this was happening or what stood out to them in the project or what they might want to do next.
If you can minimize the fear and the anxiety around talking about it and just allow more avenues for dialogue, I can't help but think that some lives will be saved or maybe some attempts will be stopped. And that's a really lofty goal, I understand. But at the very least, you shed more light on struggle.
Yeah, that is the hope, is to, you know, make this not a stigmatized thing that has to stay shut in the dark in a box, but make it a normalized thing that people can share about and get help on. And that's why we created what we're calling a conversation kit. It's for, you know, churches or Boy Scout groups or book clubs or anybody really can go to capradio.org/ruralsuicide and get our conversation kit. And it's a bunch of audio clips from all different people, people you heard in the series, people that didn't make it into the series but had important things to say, little 1 to 2 minute clips that you can listen to. And then there are discussion questions. So basically, it's your own convening that you can have anywhere.
Let's hear from one more person, a woman named Terry Works, who you say got involved with the local chapter of National Alliance on Mental Illness after her husband tried to take his life a few years ago.
Yeah, they have a really powerful story. National Alliance on Mental Illness, it's a weekly support group, and they're all about trying to reduce stigma. So here is Terry talking to Andy about how they became advocates.
And in a small town, it's hard to keep anything secret. It's hard to deal with stuff and not let anybody know, you know. So for a long time, we didn't say the suicide word, but I think we've been over that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you can't help other people until the point where you're willing to say, yeah, that happened to me too. And it's not your fault. And you're not going to be able to fix it, but you can make it better.
Yeah, so Terry is one of the leaders in the community now who's going to take this work and move it forward, I hope. And, you know, we saw at the convening, people are already sharing some pretty exciting ideas, and we'll see if they can alleviate the problem.
Let's talk a little bit more after a short break about that idea of moving this forward and the community continuing to do the work. Stephanie Hess from Amador County is going to join the conversation. And Sammy, if you would stay with us for a few minutes more. I'll remind everybody that there is that list of resources as well as a link to this Saturday's walk in Sacramento at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. You're listening to Insight on Cap. I'm Beth Ruriak. In a list of California counties, Amador has the third highest suicide rate. In fact, all of the top-ranking counties on that list are rural, And that's a situation that reporter Sammy Cayola explored recently in a series that you might have heard part of. We have posted it at capradio.org. On the phone is Stephanie Hess, the mental health programs coordinator for Amador County Administration, the planning and the development of all MHSA-related activities there. Hi, Stephanie. Glad to have you with us.
Good morning.
And Sammy, thanks for staying with us as well. So, Stephanie, how was this open conversation about suicide for your community?
It was enlightening. I think for a lot of folks in our county, the story that Sammy and Cap Radio did, it was the first time that they had heard this information, that and it really processed it, and it energized the community in a way to want to discuss it and talk about it and how we can make things better. A lot of people were in shock that we are the third highest in the state. And so having the convening last week was really a way for us to get together as a community to talk about solutions, causes, what we can be doing better, and just brainstorm ideas for the future.
Being so high on the list, Stephanie, was there anything that became more apparent to you? And you work in this field, so I would assume from the get-go you have much more education and awareness about it than so many other people do. But being third on the list is a very powerful statement.
It is. It is. You're right. It's some small little work group through MHSA has been working on for the last 2.5 years. We've known about this, but we've really struggled with trying to find the funding to bring some more educational workshops and trainings to folks. And we've struggled on really how to engage the community to openly discuss the word suicide and suicide in general. So in the spring, we had some funds returned to us from the state, and we thought, great, we're going to do a suicide prevention trainings to community members, and we're working on that. We plan to launch that next month, and then with the coinciding with this story from Capital Public Radio, really, again, allowed the community, I think, some leeway to really start talking about this more openly, because our friends and our family members are coming out with their stories, and I think the message that this doesn't discriminate, it's not socioeconomic, it's not, you know, it's just not one type of person or one type of means. It's a countywide problem, it's a statewide problem. So,
Sammy, in fact, in your reporting, you do talk about funding and education being factors that can either expand an area's ability to deal with this or really limit their outreach.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason we see this disparity between urban places and rural places. Just, you know, rural counties may not have as much funding, or they may not have the infrastructure in place or enough staff to launch these really wide-reaching programs. And so, you know, that's something that Amador County has to grapple with, but, you know, hopefully with, you know, all of the community engaged, they'll be able to move forward with some solutions.
Stephanie, to what degree is the training focusing on signs or possible signs of suicide? And I could narrow this to the age group of teenagers, but I'm not sure I want to narrow it. Just looking for signs in general.
So we're going to be introducing two types of suicide prevention training. One is a 45-minute to 1 hour training, and that is called QPR, Question, Persuade, Refer. And that is going to be, that's more of a stabilization, you know, you question the person, are they thinking about suicide? Is that a real plan for them? And if so, you stabilize and then you get them to the help they need. It's often referred to as the 911 for suicide prevention. And that's a more quick training just to feel more comfortable asking the question and giving you the tools that you need to help someone in a crisis of hope. The second training we're going to introduce is called Safe Talk, and that's a more in-depth more awareness of the signs, what to look for, and a more in-depth training. It's a half-day training. And so we also have launched a community awareness campaign that, you know the signs and directing you to websites to do your own research on what you can do as an individual or community member to learn the signs. And we also have mental health first aid trainings and youth mental health first aid trainings that are a good basic foundational, you know, just this is what it's like to live with mental illness and this is how you can help people.
Yeah, I actually got to go to a youth mental health first aid training as part of my reporting, and it was so helpful. They really have a whiteboard, and they have two columns, and it says, like, normal teen behavior concerning suicidal teen behavior. Mm-hmm. And I know if I were a parent, it would be something I definitely want to go to.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Well, just as a final thought here, there can be a list of programs and a list of resources and a list of statistics. But beyond all that, I think there's such power in the personal stories. And so I go back again to you, Stephanie, with the way people are talking about this now. What's changed? What gives you hope that Amador County can move from being third on that list to someplace better?
The first thing that gives me hope is that we're talking about it openly. We were at the Board of Supervisors meeting earlier this month, and our board was talking about it openly with us. I mean, that is huge. We've come so far. The community convening people were hungry. They wanted to talk about this issue. I feel like we've been you know, keeping this all in for so long, and now we're ready to go. We're ready to move forward. I think we're ready to start making connections with people. There's been such a disconnect with us in this county, and now that we are making connections with our friends and our family members and our neighbors and our merchants, that, you know, the suicidal thoughts or suicide attempts have happened, or that we know someone who has, you know, completed suicide. What gives me hope is that the ideas coming forth, I mean, we have such creative people in this community, and some of the ideas coming forth on how to spread awareness and get these trainings and this education to the folks that need it the most, it's amazing to me.
Hmm.
So we've got a lot of work to do, but I have hope that we're moving in the right direction.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. Thanks for the conversation. And Sammy, to you as well. Do you want to finish up with, again, giving the 800 number and mentioning the conversation kit?
Yeah, absolutely. And Stephanie, thank you for sharing that. As a reporter, it really is exciting to hear that the work is making an impact. And people in Amador County or anywhere might want to know, we have a conversation kit online. It's at capradio.org/ruralsuicide. And it's a whole bunch of audio clips organized by themes. And then there are discussion questions. So it's a good way, if you don't know how to start the conversation about suicide, it's a good jumping off point. And I also want to give the phone number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a good number to call if you or someone you know is having suicidal thoughts. That's 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-273-8255.
That's CAP Radio reporter Sammy Kaola. Sammy, thank you so much. And from Amador County Behavioral Science Services, Stephanie Hess. Thanks again, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
And you can find all of this, plus the informational links, on our website, capradio.org. This is Insight on CAP Radio.